Throughout history, it has been the inaction of those who could have acted, the indifference of those who should have known better, the silence of the voice of justice when it mattered most, that has made it possible for evil to triumph. And this week's opening quote comes from Haile Selassie. Welcome to Surviving the Matrix, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Maxwell Egan. It's a pleasure to be with you once again, and I will be your host for the next hour. Well, it would certainly seem as if the noose on free speech is being tightened, ladies and gentlemen. I suppose most people out there have noticed the removal of Alex Jones' content from YouTube and Facebook and Spotify and a whole bunch of other places as well. But very interesting that they would be doing this, and this is definitely something that we need to be paying attention to. Whether you like Alex Jones or not, it is very significant that they've simply removed his content like that. And I suspect that they are going to see whether they can get away with it, what the outcry will be. And if they do get away with it, then I would very much suspect they will be coming for other channels very soon as well. And this really is quite outrageous, folks, when you think about it. I mean, Alex Jones had 2.5 million subscribers. And if they're going to do that to 2.5 million subscribers, then it shows just how little they care. It doesn't really matter how big your channel is. They're going to remove you anyway. 2.5 million subscribers, over 1.5, 1.6 billion video views on Alex Jones's material. So this is very, very significant, folks, and it shows that the purge is indeed coming. So please do make sure you stay in touch with me via my website, thecrowhouse.com, if my YouTube channel happens to get deleted. I also have my old YouTube channel, AOD Scarecrow. I don't know whether that would remain up or not, but that channel is still there, which I could go back to if the Crow House channel does get deleted. And also find my videos on BitChute. I've got a BitChute channel which is called the Crow House, and you'll find me on DTube, but I haven't been able to upload to that for a couple of months now. I also have a Vimeo account. I've only got a couple of films up on that account, but I will put a link to that on the website as well, just in case the YouTube channel goes down, and I'll continue to upload to Vimeo as well. And you'll also find me as Max Egan on Steemit. That's if I happen to get deleted from YouTube. But as I said, folks, it is quite interesting to see them doing this with the Alex Jones channel. Alex Jones is, of course, quite large in the truth community, quite a big voice. So if they're able to get away with it with Alex Jones and they are able to set that precedent, then they will certainly be coming for everybody else, folks. So pay attention. Now's the time to start downloading the material you may want to keep. If you like any of the old radio shows, it's probably a good time to download them now and put them on a hard drive somewhere. And perhaps I'll do something about constructing some sort of a mailing list for the website so people can sign up to a mailing list, because I never have got around to constructing one of those. I'm just not really that web savvy when it comes to doing things like constructing mailing lists in HTML. But anyway, as I said, folks, I think they are going to come gunning for us pretty soon. And even though we have seen it coming for a long time, I think that now we need to take it seriously, and now is the time for us to really start knuckling down, paying attention, and making sure we maintain contact with all the people we want to maintain contact with through what very much appears to be coming. And it is coming, folks. So I imagine many people are also aware of the treatment that Lauren Southern and Stefan Molyneux just received in New Zealand, which was quite outrageous. They got cancelled, their talk got cancelled, they basically got chased out of the country for daring to want to speak freely. And some of the responses they got from the crowds even here in Australia just shows how well programmed the people are. And again, this is whether you agree with Lauren and Stefan's views or not, it doesn't matter. Free speech should be allowed, people should be able to express their opinions. And they certainly weren't able to do that when they got to New Zealand, so New Zealand is certainly leading the way in fascism in the world these days. And so it definitely is coming, folks. It's what we've been expecting for a while, and it's right at our doorstep right now. And so now is the time people need to start addressing this situation. If they've ever thought about it before, now is the time that they need to get motivated and actually put that thought into action. And it's very important that people make a noise now. Make a noise in a strong, eloquent way. A strong, eloquent, non-violent way. We really don't need violence. We need people to see that what we are saying is really basic logic. It's basic common sense. You know, the outcry that we have against the government, it's basic common sense against criminality. And people need to see it that way. They need to become empowered, And that's really been the purpose the whole time, is to inspire people, to motivate people to become empowered, to motivate people into standing up for themselves. And now's the time that we have to do it, folks. It's really coming down to the wire. You know, ever since I began this radio show almost 10 years ago now, that has really been the underlying purpose of the show, to not only expose the corruption of the system that we're forced to endure, but also to inspire people into discovering themselves or rediscovering themselves, and hopefully inspiring them to make change in the world around them, to be the change that they want to see. Because this entire system, as I've explained so many times, the entire thing exists and the entire matrix exists solely due to our tolerance of it. And if you want to look at it a little deeper, it's really due to our tolerance of wrong behavior. You know, everything this system does against us, it's able to do through our tolerance of wrong behavior, and by simply not asking the right questions and acting on our principles when we should. You know, so many people write to me and ask what the solutions are, and so many people comment on my videos and ask why I don't ever supply solutions. They just don't see that they are the solution. It's our choice to comply with wrong behavior, and our choice to step outside our moral compass in the face of a system that we all know is corrupt. We know it's corrupt, but we go along with it anyway, and we never ask why. And generally, we do it out of fear. And that is the problem. That's why no one can offer you a solution, because most people just want someone to say, well, I've got this big movement I'm going to start. And then they want to sit there and watch the YouTube videos and hold that person's coat while they get up and save the world. They don't realize that they can do it themselves. All they have to do is change the way they interact with the system around them. You know, there's so many times and so many instances where we're forced to step outside of our moral compass and we never ask why. We do it, we comply, because we think, well, by doing so, we're complying with the law. But if the law is causing harm, then how is it a law? We just never ask that question. And even if we're attempting to awaken our friends and relatives, we never really put it in that context in a way that they can understand it as well. And that's something that I'm getting a lot of letters from people saying they're having a lot of difficulty waking up people around them. And perhaps it's because a lot of people are in a state of fear and they're not just looking at it logically and explaining the harm that's been caused. And perhaps if you can simply explain it in logical terms to your friends and siblings around you, perhaps they will see the harm that's been caused. Perhaps you can point it out to them in a way that they can understand it. And it's really a quite simple logical approach you can take, and you can do it without being in a state of fear. You just kind of sit down and explain things logically to them. You know, if one and one makes two, then two and two must make four. And this is kind of what I touched on near the close of last week's show when I explained the amount of harm that government and their legislation was actually causing to our society, and how this actually contravenes the legal system. It actually negates the legal system itself. It renders the legal system invalid simply because the legal system was created to prevent the causation of harm. And this is just a logical way of looking at it, folks, because if the legislation the government is creating itself is what is causing harm, then how is the legal system valid and how is government valid? How do these two things both work together when one is there to prevent the causation of harm, and yet the very people who created that system can be seen as being the source of all the harm that has been caused? And when you look at what our governments are rolling out, you look at the 5G grid, the smart grid, the IoT, all the legislation that they're putting in place, well, there's certainly a lot of harm being caused by this. Our problem is we don't ever identify it as harm. We just view it as law and feel we must comply, and we allow the system to cause harm against us by claiming we're causing harm against the system if we don't comply with their rules. And it's ridiculous. It's all backwards. And we simply never identify the harm that's been caused and question why we should allow that harm to be caused, and kind of flip it around logically and put the blame back on the politician that's enacted the legislation which is causing the harm, which is really what we should be doing. And even the current work ethic causes harm, folks. The system that we are forced to participate in order to collect the paper we need to pay to be alive causes harm simply by existing the way it does. When you think about it, go back 40 years, take it back to 1978. In those 40 years, on average now, people work around 300% harder. With inflation, they earn about 10% less than what they used to earn back in 1978, and they pay around about 220% more for things, which cost far less to produce than what they did in 1978. So under this system, folks, most people get just enough to put petrol in their car, pay the overheads for their houses, get the kids to school, put a little bit of cheap food on the table, and just have enough left to be able to put enough petrol in the car to be able to get back to work the next week. This is not living, folks. This is servitude. And with the IoT and the social crediting system that they are rolling out on top of all of this, it's going to get far, far worse if we continue to fail to recognize the fact, the reality, that the world is run by criminals. Our governments are a criminal cabal that is milking the wealth of this population dry. Why do you think all the politicians are millionaires when you live in a situation where in 40 years you're working 300% harder to earn 10% less and pay 220% more for everything? What, overpopulation? Scarcity of resources? Is that what you think? Because it's not. The world isn't overpopulated and it isn't scarce of resources, just badly managed on purpose. Or perhaps you think it's because of economic reasons. But really? Think about it. How do you think this is the result of economic tensions or economic upheavals or world economic trade agreements or tariffs or whatever they're saying it is the result of, folks? How can you sit back and allow this system to continue and look at what that's done in the last 40 years? Imagine what it's going to be like in another 10 years. In another 10 years, everyone's going to be walking between the lines and you're basically going to be working in open slave jobs if we do not address the criminality and the racketeering that has infested our political systems. In all countries, folks, if we fail to recognize that what we have here is an international crime gang that is running this world into the ground, then we're never going to get anywhere. It doesn't matter what sort of solution anyone attempts to put forth. It doesn't matter what sort of system anyone attempts to try. It doesn't matter whether you want to do permaculture, whether you want to do this, whether you want to do that. You won't be able to do any of it because it's legislated that you can't, because we failed to factor in the harm that government causes simply by making us live in this state of servitude to begin with, let alone what they're doing with all the radiation and the 5G and all the other stuff that I was talking about before, which is soon going to go to 6G and 7G, which is just out of control. These are frequencies that we just don't want to be anywhere near, folks. And this is where they're going. You know, and we're not looking at any of it as something that is causing harm. We're just looking at it as illegal stuff. Oh, we've got to do this because the government tells us we have to do it. No, we don't. What we have to do is stop the causation of harm. And if the governments are causing harm, then governments have outlived their usefulness. And I would suggest they did that a long time ago. Our problem is that we just don't call things for what they are. We're too politically correct. We've been trained that we have to be nice about everything rather than just simply saying the truth and calling things for what they are. This is ridiculous. This whole system is ridiculous. There's no way we should be living our lives in this way and putting up with all this rubbish from these people. So why are we doing it? That's the question. And again, you know, it comes back to the same old thing, because the reason we're doing it is because we live in disunited communities. Why? Because we keep arguing and fighting with each other over our belief systems and over this and over that, rather than simply turning and addressing the ones who've created the problem to begin with, which is the government. You know, if we're going to have a political system at all, we need it run by responsible people, and we certainly don't have that. And as I often say, if you need evidence of that, well, Exhibit A, the Earth. Have a look at it. It's a mess. Why? Because it's legislated to be that way, and we don't ever call it. We run out and try to put band-aids on all these problems, but we don't ever address the cause of the problem. We run out and try to address the symptoms rather than addressing the sickness itself, which is the criminality of governments. That is the sickness that has infected the world. And it's infected the entire world, and it's time we called it for what it is. And we don't need to be politically correct about it. The world's run by criminals. They're running us into the ground, and they're making us walk between the lines, and they're slowly turning up the heat more and more and more, and they've been doing it for years. And it's getting to the point now that it's getting beyond ridiculous, folks. So really, I mean, when are people going to see this and put down all their stuff with their neighbors and put down all their stuff with all the people that they're arguing with? When is the truth community and the truth movement or the resistance or whatever it's supposed to be going to put down all this stuff with each other, stop attacking each other and berating each other, and simply turn and call the government out for their criminal activities? Why don't we just do that, folks? You know, I've been trying to organize a national strike for the last 10 years. just a total stand of non-compliance from the citizens. Even if you did it for one day, imagine one day of complete non-compliance to the system. Imagine one day when nobody went to work, nobody spent any money at all, no one used their credit card or bought any petrol or did any of that stuff for a day. It would send a shockwave around the world. Maybe it would motivate them to do it for more than a day. I don't know, but I've been calling for people to stop complying with this system for a very long time, and we've got to do it, folks. We've got to realize what the problem is. The problem is government. And there may be people that would argue with that and say, well, no, the problem is corporations. Well, okay, corporations, but the problem is that our governments are also corporations, and how do the corporations get away with what they do? They get away with what they do because of the loopholes that are legislated for them to be able to do so by guess who? Government. So it all comes back to that. That's our interface. Even the Rothschilds and the Zionists and all of the, whatever you want to call them, Illuminati families, whatever you want to call them, that sit at the top and puppeteer the whole thing, they're able to do so and get away with the positions they hold because of loopholes that are put in place in what we call the legislative system or the legal system that are put there by government so that they can do it. That's what government's for. Government is the interface that controls the whole thing, both sides of it. Both the puppets and the puppet masters, it is the interface between them. It doesn't control the puppet masters, of course, but it controls the interface between us and the puppet masters, those who control government. The whole thing is just one big managerial position, the CEOs of the people farm we lovingly call Earth. That's the situation that we're dealing with. The problem is government because they legislate all the problems into existence. And if we're not prepared to identify that fact and acknowledge that fact for what it is, then the problem is us. And it's easy to see, folks. It's really easy to see that all the problems that we face as a society do come from government and our tolerance of government's behavior. And all we do is complain as they continue to tighten up the screws, but we don't ever say, hey, no. Hey, why? Hey, how do you think you can even do this? Who the hell do you think you are? This isn't what we employ you to do. We employ you to manage infrastructure, not to screw us over. Now, if you're going to screw us over, then you're causing harm. And if you're causing harm, then you've outlived your usefulness. You need to be dismissed. And we need to get someone in there who's going to fix the harm that you've caused. And you need to be held accountable for the harm that you've caused. And again, if we can't do that, well, thank you for the confirmation that there is no law. So maybe we'll take matters into our own hands and fix things the way we should have done at the beginning, as soon as things got out of control. We'll revert to an anarchist society, a voluntarist society. And why will we do this? We'll do this because we do respect law, and you obviously don't, because you are placing yourself in a position where you are causing harm, and you're not accountable to the law, and that's not acceptable. That's not what law was invented for. And if you can do that, then I guess we're not breaking any law, because you've confirmed that there is none. And so that is why we'll convert to an anarchist society. And not only that, we'll do it because it's what we choose to do. That's the attitude we need to have. Because if law is going to be put there to make us walk between the lines and lock us into this system of servitude, then it needs to be applied to the people who are creating the legal system as well. And if it can't be applied to them, then it doesn't exist. It's as simple as that. I mean, it's all fiction anyway, folks. It's just stuff they write on paper. The ultimate reality is that integrity has no need of rules. We just live in a society where integrity has been bred out of the people because they've been taught to live in a competitive world rather than a cooperative world. And cooperatism is our natural state. Abundance is our natural state. We are naturally cooperative species regardless of what this system says. The only reason people live in a state of competition is because that's what this system is designed to put them in. Simply by the state of scarcity, it places them in by default due to this entire corrupt monetary and social system, all puppeteered by these maniacs masquerading as government. It's just getting people to realize this. And imagine if people were to realize this and they just thought, well, hey, I'm not going to do this anymore, and they just stayed home. I mean, what are they going to do? It's not breaking the law. Take a day off. Stay home. Everybody. Imagine if the whole world just stayed home for a day. Stayed home for a week. What would they do? Nothing. What, are they going to send the police around to drag you out of your house and tell you you have to go to work? They can't do that. The whole system would completely fail if we stopped supporting it, folks. And people go to work and they run around and they do all this stuff that they think is important, but they're doing absolutely nothing. If you step back and look at it, you look at cities. It's just this big rat race of all these people moving paper around and moving all these objects around and driving here and driving there and doing absolutely nothing with their day and thinking it's all really important. But none of it is. None of it's to do with life. None of it's to do with them. None of it's to do with the art of being you. It's quite amazing, really, that people have been trapped into this world. But imagine what would happen if everyone just stayed home. When do you do that, folks? Take a week off. Spend a week with your family. Everybody. But of course, that's the key word, isn't it? Everybody. Because everybody has to do it. Because if you just take a week off and spend a week home with your family, they'll just sack you and get someone else to take your place because everyone wants to run out there and collect the slave dollar. We need everybody to do it. That's the only way it will work. That's the only way non-compliance will work. That's why nobody does it, because no one wants to start. Well, hey, I already started. I've never complied with this system at all. I just live my life the way I want to live it, and I always have. But if we could organize it, if we could just organize a worldwide strike, everybody, just stay home, take a week off. I mean, sure, you keep essential services going, but everybody else, just take a week off. At least the government workers and the military, that's really who we need to take a week off. Imagine that. If all the government workers refused to go to work for a week and all the soldiers just put down their guns, imagine the change that would make. If one day they just all woke up and thought, what on earth are we doing? And didn't. That would be great, and that would show people that they actually can make a difference. And maybe they would see just how much the system needs them in order to function. And that's the thing, and it's always been the thing. The system only continues to function because we agree for it to function. We agree that it's real, and we continue to comply with it. But ultimately, it's just a fiction. It's just an idea, and really, I think it's time we came up with a better idea. Perhaps, like, not going along with any of this at all. And it really is time that we did that. You know, it's time that we did it long ago. You know, this purge that's coming, this cleansing and complete deplatforming of Alex Jones, this is very significant, ladies and gentlemen. You know, we've been telling people that they need to get involved on the ground for many years. I created the Full Circle Project so that people would get involved. They'd have opportunity to find people around them, man action groups, get involved in their community, bring this message out to those who don't watch these alternate media channels. But unfortunately, too many people have just consumed the information, sat there and listened to the shows every week and not got involved on the ground. I mean, many people have, but unfortunately, many people haven't. They've just sat there and listened to the talk every week. But that talk is soon going to disappear. You won't get that information. And this is simply because not enough action was taken on the ground. But we can still do it. It's not too late. The fat lady hasn't sung yet, but she's out in the back room warming up. So things really are coming down to the wire, ladies and gentlemen. You know, once the alternate media disappears from the internet and all of this free thinking is expunged, when it becomes illegal to think outside of the box, it's going to be a very different world. And that world is coming very quickly. It's coming to us right now if we don't pay attention, if we don't make noise. It's imperative that people make a lot of noise to get this ban lifted from Alex Jones. It's very important that people complain to their media outlets, to their government outlets, to all sorts of places that you can complain. And even if it's not about Alex Jones, it's just very important that free speech becomes a topic of public debate, becomes a topic of public interest. Because without free speech, without the ability to criticize the actions of the government, without the ability to offer independent thought on things, to have ideas and put them there into the marketplace of free ideas, then we don't have a society. We don't even really have a human experience without these things. And is that really where we want to go? Is that really where we want to allow ourselves to be led? You know, all the great things that exist in the world today, the things that have been created by some of the great geniuses of the past, the art, the paintings, the discoveries, the inventions. Look at the minds of people such as Nikola Tesla, Royal Raymond Rife, Victor Schauberger, even Leonardo da Vinci, Michelangelo. Admittedly, a lot of their inventions were repressed. Tesla, Schauberger, Rife, these sorts of people. So we see what happens to these types of geniuses anyway, historically. But in the society that we're allowing to be created around us, there will be no geniuses. there will be no one allowed to flourish. Those who can think clearly and those who do excel above other people will be singled out. They'll be squashed. They will be vilified. They'll be imprisoned. They'll be taken out of the mainstream. That's if they can't be co-opted to work for the establishment on new ways to oppress the people. That genius will be co-opted to be used against mankind, as it always is. But the world that we're allowing to be created around us is not going to be a very human-friendly world, ladies and gentlemen. It's not. And it's not being created to keep us safe. It's being created because the world is run by criminals. You know, don't think that the world is under the threat of terrorism everywhere. It isn't. Sure, we have massive destabilization programs that are happening in each of our countries, disguised as multiculturalism, which is not what multiculturalism is at all. Multiculturalism is about undermining and destroying the historical culture of all races and about setting up sectarian factions within different cities all around the world so that there is sectarian violence within cities and there is dissent and distrust and difference and animosity between different groups and different individuals in smaller city areas. This creates the need for more police. It creates the need for tighter controls, tighter regulations. This is all part of the same thing, folks. That's why they have migrants come into your city and set up their own migrant community rather than integrate with the local culture. They like to come in and set up these subcultures within cities, only in the Western world, of course, but it's to create these sectarian factions that can later be played off against each other. And we'll see this happening as well. We're seeing it happening here in Australia. We're seeing it happening all around the world, but we'll see an escalation of this as well. So it's really important to see how we're being set up with all this, ladies and gentlemen, and where it's all going and what type of society it's going to be if we allow these governments to continue doing what they're doing and continue rolling this legislation out and leading the world to where they are. And if they ban free speech along the way where all criticism and all dissent is outlawed, then what sort of a world is that going to be for mankind to live in? And the thing is, it's not even being outlawed, folks. It's just being quietly swept under the carpet with media approval, how they frown and nod and say it's good to ban this hate speech. And when all criticism against government and all criticism against tyranny is defined as hate speech, what sort of a world is that going to be to live in? Think about it. But I think we've reached break time here, folks. So I'll leave it there for now and we'll go and have a break. Thank you for joining me on there today. And I'll be back to speak to you again in a few minutes. And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Yeah, so we are really seeing an undermining and a locking down of everything all around the world. And getting back to multiculturalism for a moment, it's really easy to see how this has been used to destroy the culture in all Western nations. The undermining of European culture, the undermining of Australian culture, American culture, British culture. I mean, all nations do have their own particular culture, but multiculturalism is about undermining all of that. And also about interbreeding all of the races and homogenizing the human race as well to not only breed white people out of existence, to also breed all the other races out of existence as well, to mingle them all together. And if you want to know where all this is coming from, well, of course, there is one country where all races are being expelled from that country, and that is Israel. Israel has just announced that all black people must leave Israel. They have 90 days to leave Israel. After that, they will be subject to imprisonment or worse, which you can imagine what that is. And also making Hebrew the national language of Israel as well. So they're working to completely steal the rest of Palestine and make the whole thing Israel. They're also planning a new war, in inverted commas, against the imprisoned children in Gaza Strip. This is not a war, folks. There's never, ever been a war that's been held against Gaza because it takes two armies to have a war. It takes two militaries to have a war. The imprisoned and besieged population of the Gaza Strip have no army. They have no military. They have no weapons. They have no artillery. They have no air force. They have nothing. And they are kept under siege and have been under siege for the last 12 years in an illegal blockade. And when Israel goes in there to wage war against them, it is not a war. It is a slaughter of children. It is a genocide, ladies and gentlemen, by the most cowardly army that the world has ever known, the Israeli IDF, which is an army of cowards. They're all cowards by default, simply because they are compelled to join the army or they are not able to have citizenship in the country. Therefore, they must go and kill Palestinian children and steal Palestinian land in order to call themselves an Israeli. And the fact that they don't stand up against that, the fact that they just take that line down and say, yes, sir, no, sir, three bags, four, sir, and they go and kill children in order to gain citizenship, shows that the entire IDF is an army of cowards by default, simply because they are part of the IDF, and the fact that they were compelled to join and they never had the backbone to stand up for themselves. So it shows what sort of people we're dealing with here, and it also demonstrates very clearly why they are so brutal against the Palestinians when they go in and wage one of these so-called wars. Because you will always find that the biggest bullies and the most brutal villains are always the most despicable of cowards. So it's very important that people pay attention to what's going on in Palestine at the moment, because as all of our countries are being locked down and homogenized and turned into one multinational soup, the state of Israel is building its wall, securing its borders, expelling all foreigners, and basically announcing itself to be an openly apartheid state that places itself above any and all international law and who interferes with politics in every single country on earth, and is now doing so openly and is again supported by all of our politicians. So it's very important to see who our politicians are working for, because they're certainly not working for us, because all the foreign policies that our governments do and all the things that they involve themselves in, both internationally and at home, seem to somehow all be highly detrimental to our policies and culture and well-being at home. Whereas on the other hand, all seem to just coincidentally support the foreign policies of the state of Israel. So the question has to be asked, who are our governments really working for? Because they certainly do not seem to be working for us. And it really is time we started turning the tables on these people, folks, and started throwing their questions back at them and started throwing their policies back at them. You know, if they're going to delete the Alex Jones channel for hate speech, well, why are our governments supporting the state of Israel? Because supporting the state of Israel is hate speech in itself. Because what you're supporting is the genocide of the Palestinian people. What you're supporting is snipers who shoot the feet off children who want to become soccer players. What you're supporting is open terrorism, open apartheid. The state has even announced itself as openly apartheid by expelling all black people. You know, it's become apparent that they never ever had any intention of having a two-state solution way back in 1948 when they were given the land. The land was stolen and given to them. They never had any intention of just keeping that. They always wanted to steal all of Palestine. Now they're even saying the Palestinians don't exist. There are no Palestinian people. They're just Arabs that are occupying Israel is what they're saying. You know, and just by supporting this state, this is hate speech in itself. Everything our governments do is hate speech. By telling us we can't think for ourselves is hate speech. By telling us we can't have an opinion, this is hate speech. By making us walk between the lines, this is hate speech. By threatening us that they'll put us in a cage if we don't comply with their wishes, this is hate speech. Everything they do is hatred, hate speech, and terrorism. That's what governments are founded on. That's what they do, and they all work together. It's one international, multinational criminal cabal, which have planned this whole thing out, all of these theatres of conflict, this posturing between North Korea on and off, Russia on and off. It's theatre, folks. It's theatre for the masses to keep you distracted so you don't pay attention to what's happening around you. And the whole world is being locked down, and people simply have to pay attention to it, and they have to start calling it out and turn things back on these people, start demanding answers from these people, and start just saying no. I mean, remember that word, no? Start informing these people that they're making a nuisance of themselves, because politicians are making a nuisance of themselves. Police are making a nuisance of themselves. Everything they do is a nuisance. They're interfering with your lives in everything that they do. We have laws about interfering with people's lives, don't we? You're not allowed to make a nuisance. You're not allowed to disturb the peace. All governments do and all police do is make nuisances of themselves and disturb the peace. That's all they do. All of these things, folks. You know, we've got to start turning the tables on these people and calling them out for what they do and asking these questions back at them. If we're going to have a legal system, then it applies to the politicians and the police as much as it does to the people. And if it doesn't apply to them, then we don't have any law and we need to revert to natural law. And it's about time we realize that, because we don't. We don't have real law. We don't have law that is there evenly across the board to protect society and to prevent the causation of harm, to provide remedy when that harm is caused. We don't have that. We have a set of rules that are put there by a criminal cabal which are used to constrain the movements of the people, and now they're being used to constrain the speech and even the thought of the people. And this simply is not acceptable. But they're going to keep doing it, folks. They've been pushing us and pushing us and pushing us, and we've let them do it because we've never pushed back. But now we have to push back because now it's come to the wire. Now it's come to everybody's backyard. So it's time for people to start having conversations around the kitchen table about free speech, about free thought, about what hate speech really is. And about hate speech is not dissent. It's not thinking outside the box. It's not criticizing wrong behavior. This is not hate speech. What is hateful is the wrong behavior itself. And if we fail to criticize that, then that is in itself a form of hatred. Hatred against humanity. Hatred against that which is right. You know, it may not seem like that, but what else is it? You know, if you won't stand up for what is right, then what is that? What does that make you? What do we become if we become a species that won't do this? If we allow our government to dictate that we cannot think and say what we want to say and we cannot criticize their actions, what does that make us? What do we become? These little automatons who run around involved in clicktivism and looking at icons and posting pictures on Instagram and forgetting even how to talk to each other or write their name properly. What are we becoming, ladies and gentlemen? What are we allowing ourselves to become? You know, you might look at this and think, well, it's all corporatism and it's all the criminals at the top or whatever. But again, the government is our interface. The government is what is creating the legislation which is making all of this happen. And government itself has outlived its usefulness by its very actions. The government no longer serves the people. If we're going to have government, then we need it populated by people who have some form of conscience or morals or responsibility. And these people who are populating our halls of power now do not have any of those things. Exhibit A, the earth. Have a look at it. It's a mess, folks. Even if you're in the United States, it doesn't matter what Trump's doing, bringing jobs back and doing all this sort of stuff. He's supporting the state of Israel. They're about to genocide the rest of Palestine. He's supporting that. He's supporting that abominable state. He allowed his daughter to marry into that psychopathic culture. And you think this man is your friend? Are you serious? This man's been Benjamin Netanyahu's friend for years. Benjamin Netanyahu is an open terrorist. He's an open child killer. Benjamin Netanyahu, real name Benjamin Malachowski from Poland, has no right to even claim that he is a Jew. He has no right to even claim any rulership over the land of Palestine at all. He shouldn't even be there. He should go back to Poland where he came from, and he should stop interfering with the affairs of other countries. And Trump supports this man, so I don't think Trump's your friend. He's not. He's doing all sorts of stuff to appease the people on the ground while he is managing the controlled demolition of the United States while it's all handed over to the Chinese system. This is what I told you was going to happen a year ago, a year and a half ago, when he first came to power, and I put out a show, The Controlled Demolition of America. Trump's going to manage all of that, and he's doing a great job, and he's getting all the people behind him, jobs, make America great again, all this stuff. It's about separating America from the world trade market, isolating America, and allowing Europe to have the excuse, and everybody else to have the excuse, to jump into this one belt, one road system, which again can be all traced back to Israel. They're running the whole thing. Israel is right in thick with it in China, right in thick with it with everybody. And they're also about to hand nuclear technology over to Saudi Arabia. Isn't that wonderful? Or they can continue their genocide of Yemen, which seems to be the most underreported war in the history of war. Again, all financed and funded and supported by our own governments. So what can I say, folks? It's time to get motivated. I've been pretty motivated. I've been traveling around the world for the last couple of years, attempting to motivate people on the ground. I've got all sorts of action started here. I mean, I've put in the affidavit. I've got the liability notices for the smart meters. I'm doing everything I can on the ground here, and I intend to stand up against the system any way I can, if it ever comes for me in any way, shape or form, as I always have, and I always encourage other people to do the same. But you've got to get motivated and not just listen to the shows. It's not just about collectivism. It's about activism. You know, there's a real world outside that you need to participate in. And if you're not sharing the information that you're getting with people around you, then there's not really a lot of point in getting it. And I know people have a lot of trouble with that. You have a lot of trouble talking to your family and friends, but perhaps just show them the videos, play them the radio shows, just see if you can get an hour of their time. Go for a drive. Download a radio show and put it on a podcast and put it on in the car. Then they have to listen to it while you're driving. Just say, hey, listen to what this guy's saying. And maybe the penny will drop. You know, there's all sorts of ways you can get information to people. And if you're having trouble communicating what you've learnt on some show by whoever you particularly like to listen to, well, perhaps rather than trying to communicate that information to your friends and family, perhaps you could get them to sit down and watch the show, you know, or listen to the show. You know, perhaps you'll find that that will inspire them the way you were inspired by it. And I think you're going to find that it's a lot easier to do now because things are so much in your face now. Even with this lockdown of Alex Jones, you know, a lot of people, even who don't support Alex Jones, are speaking out about this. And I'm no fan of Alex Jones. I don't watch his channel. I don't support his material. I don't listen to what he says. I don't really consume that sort of stuff. But I still completely respect his right to say it. I respect his right to say and feel whatever he wants to say and feel and to express that any way he wants to. You know, as we should all be able to do so, because if we allow one person to be locked down, then we allow everybody to be locked down. You know, it isn't just that he's a radical and he's there taking his shirt off and waving guns around on the set and all this sort of stuff that he does. You know, it's the fact that it starts there and then it becomes everything else. You know, any form of censorship leads to blanket censorship. And this is simply not acceptable. It's not being done to keep us safe, as I said. You know, censoring people's thought and censoring free expression is never done to keep people safe. It's done to stop people speaking out against government. It's done to stop people speaking out against what is coming. And we've seen it coming for a long time, and now here it is. And so with this sort of stuff, it becomes a lot easier to talk to people just about free speech. And that can be the opening topic that can lead to other things. But the reality is that without free speech and without free thought, we don't have a creative society. We don't have any potential at all in the human experience without free thought, freedom of expression. And it isn't just freedom to create art. It's freedom to invent new things, freedom to have new ideas, freedom to question the direction the establishment's going. Because a government without accountability is no government. It's a dictatorship, and this is not what we want. And it's getting pretty obvious for people to see this now. So as I said, it becomes a lot easier to share information with people. If you can be on point enough, be brutally honest enough, be kind but eloquent but brutally honest at the same time. Now, that's all I do on the radio shows. And don't try to use big words. Don't try to over-intellectualize. Just do round the kitchen table talk. That's also what I do on the radio shows. Just everyday talk to reach everyday people, to help them see everyday things, to help them really see the reality of their surroundings and where we're being led by this criminal institution masquerading as government. And it should be so apparent to everybody now that this is a criminal institution. It really should. You just got to look at the actions that they're performing. Look at the way they're all working together. Look at this, these theatres of conflict, folks. As I said, on and off with everybody. North Korea, Iran, Russia, you name it. Anybody they want to make the enemy this week, they just do. And it's all this posturing and back and forth between these guys, these main players that we see on TV. And while that's going on, all these other countries are being bombed, all of this 5G, all this smart grids coming out, all these social crediting systems coming online everywhere. You know, in China now, they're also monitoring school kids at school. They've got every kid with a video monitor on them so that they're looking at their eyes and their facial expressions and they're mapping their facial expressions. It was every 2 minutes. I think it's every 20 seconds now. They're snapping a shot every 20 seconds to monitor this kid's expressions, to monitor who's attentive, who isn't, so they can pick out who's thinking outside the box. And they're starting this in like 5 and 6 year old classes at school. You know, in their first 1 and 2 years of school, they're mapping these kids to see what they're thinking. And this will be coming to a state near you, folks. It'll be coming to a school near you if we don't regain control of the system, regain the education system and turn it back into an education system rather than an indoctrination camp, which is what it is. You know, all of this stuff people have to start paying attention to. Blanket vaccines across the board, the rise in disease and autism and all the problems we've seen since these vaccines we've been brought in to protect us. They're not protecting us at all, folks. I've traveled around the world my whole life. I've never been vaccinated for anything. I've gone to so many different countries. I've never got one vaccination anywhere I've gone. It just shows that you don't need them. Healthy kids don't need vaccinations. You know, all these things are done to lower people's immune system and to remove them of their real cognitive function. You know, you start poisoning a young body at a very early age. It has to fight in ways it shouldn't ever have to fight. It has to deal with things it should never have to deal with. And all of this stuff just degrades the human experience. And that's what it's all about. It's all about control, folks. Everything this government does is about control. It should be so obvious to people now that these institutions do not serve us. Now, we could have governance. We could have some form of governance. I don't have a problem with some form of governance if it's honest, if it's moral, if it's there to serve the people, to preserve the culture of the nation, to preserve the rights of the people and the liberties and the integrity of the people, and to promote integrity in the nation, not to promote financial subservience and adherence to rules and regulations and respect for authority. That is not life, and that is not what a government should be doing. You know, and again, what, protecting us against what? All these other countries? All these other countries don't want to bomb us. All these other countries are in the same position we are in. They're all repressed by their governments as well, and they're all kept in fear of the guys over the border who don't want to come and fight with them either. It's just the governments colluding with each other to create this whole situation, this theatre of conflict, this theatre of worldwide tension, which shouldn't exist and doesn't exist and is created on purpose by those masquerading as government in all of our countries. It's time we called it, folks. Time we saw it for what it is, and it's time we called it. And don't expect the media to, because the media will not do anything honest at all. That should be obvious to everybody. You know, even when they're shutting down channels like Alex Jones and calling it fake news, how can you look at the media and say that that's real news? All the fake news reports they brought us to the first Gulf War when they were actually pretending that they were in the Gulf when they weren't. All the things they do. They've been caught lying through their teeth. There's been interviews on TV recently where there was people supposed to be talking from someone across the other side of town or in another city, and they're actually on the same street being interviewed by the same people, just using different cameras. And it was right there. There was a guy picking it out saying, hey, look, there's a guy on the same bike, same car, same this, same that. They're on the same street. They're not even in a different city. You know, there's so much fake news that comes out of the media. And most of what we get out of the media is propaganda of war. It's promoting death. It's promoting bloodshed. It's promoting hatred. It's promoting the need to go and bomb other countries. This is blatantly promoting murder and war propaganda on behalf of a corrupt state. So how can these people be standing there and calling anybody fake when all they deliver to the world is fake news by the bucketful? All of these mainstream media reporters and all these mainstream media sources, that's all they deliver people. They certainly don't deliver the truth. There certainly is no real journalism that exists in any mainstream media sources at all. There used to be, but there isn't anymore, and that should be obvious to everybody as well. So these are the last people that need to be calling out anybody for fake news when it's all they ever deliver to the people. And the governments are just as bad. The governments deliver fake news as well. Look at the Australian government, the babies overboard scandal. Remember John Howard claimed that the refugees had thrown all their babies overboard, and that's how we had to get all these people and lock them in these concentration camps in the centre of Australia and dispel them and send them off to Christmas Island, all the terrible things we do to these refugees. And that was all completely fake. It wasn't a mistaken report. It was fabricated. The whole thing was fabricated. What about the weapons of mass destruction in Iraq in the Gulf War? Remember, they had to go in and battle Saddam Hussein because he was about to bomb the US government any minute. He was going to come and attack the United States. Remember, he can have these weapons of mass destruction ready to launch in 90 minutes against the United States. All this rubbish that they were feeding us. All completely fake news. All war propaganda, all designed to give the government the excuse they needed to go in and wipe out a sovereign nation and kill thousands upon thousands, tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of Iraqis. All civilians, all completely defenseless, and all completely contrived. The entire situation was contrived, all based on fake news and blatant war propaganda and outright lies from the government and the media. They did it in the first Gulf War with the stories coming out of Kuwait that Iraq had gone in there and taken the babies out of the incubators, and the woman who was giving the court testimony turned out to be the American diplomat's daughter who'd taken acting lessons for the courtroom, and the entire story was fabricated. Fake news from the mainstream media, outright fake news, not misreported, fabricated, even to the point of getting actors to do it. And it's been the same thing over and over again. We saw the same thing in Syria with the so-called gas attack. They stumbled on the first one and got caught out on it, but they got away with it again anyway by sending their fake terrorist army in there, ISIS, which is a mercenary army run by the West, which was sent in there to undermine Syria because the West couldn't get away with having its open war, so it waged a covert war instead. This is the lies and the propaganda and the rubbish that is fed to us by our government, not to mention the way they entrap you into their slavery system anyway through all their maritime Admiralty law and all the stuff they do, the capital letters on your license. This is all entrapment. The whole thing is based on a lie. Even when you look at the Australian government even changed the constitution a few years ago. It didn't have a referendum to do it. So the entire Australian government is currently operating outside the law anyway. It's a completely illegal criminal establishment under its own actions, simply by what it did to the Constitution. So why aren't we calling any of this out? Why are we just going along with what these people say? You know, and people may think, well, what are you doing, Max? You just come onto the show and say the same thing every week. Well, you know, once you find the way through this, you sort of want to tell people that that's the way through. And what's the point of changing the story and saying there's a different way when this is the way? And I don't just do the radio show. I also travel and I also get very, very involved on the ground where I live. I'm standing up against authority every opportunity I get. I'm sending letters to people. I'm going to council meetings. I'm doing everything I can to make a difference on the ground where I live, and I'm trying to encourage people to do the same. So it isn't just a matter of doing these radio shows. This is just something that happens on the side, something to hopefully inspire and motivate other people into getting involved as well. Because that's where we're really going to make the difference. Now, spreading information is great and it needs to be done, but you've got to stand up for yourself. When they come for you, when they try to push their legislation on you, when agents of the state try to coerce you into compliance and try to become a nuisance in your life and disturb your peace, you need to call it for what it is and name them for what they're doing. And when they start using terrorist tactics against you, you need to call that for what it is as well. And as I said, it's very important that people understand this entire system is based on entrapment anyway, simply because of the license and the all capital letters name and the birth certificate and all the stuff that they never told you about, all the stuff that renders any contract that government claims to have with you completely invalid because there was never full disclosure, and that is the basis of any sound contract. So that's why I do the shows, to try to motivate people and inspire people into making a difference in their own lives and feeling that they can make a difference. You know, as I've said so many times, it's mainly an attempt to help people rediscover themselves and to see the uniqueness and the power and the beauty that they really hold. That is really the purpose of the whole thing, because once we rediscover that, well, that's the key, folks. That's the way out. And that's why I guess I've always stayed on the same topic, because, well, once you find that truth, that's the truth, so why pretend it isn't? Well, we have reached that time again, ladies and gentlemen, where it is the end of the show. Bit of a rant today, but I guess there's a lot to rant about because the world is certainly deteriorating before our eyes. I'm actually going directly after this show to speak at a blockchain conference in Brisbane this afternoon as well, and I'm sure there'll be a video of that event that gets posted for you at some stage. And that will be the last talk that I'm doing until Anacapulco in February next year. I did suggest a show or two ago that I might be doing some live streaming, but it doesn't look like that's going to happen, folks, because YouTube wants me to supply them with a cell phone number in order to do live streaming. And, well, that's just not going to be happening, so it doesn't look like I'll be doing any live streaming at this stage, but I'll keep you posted on that. Thank you again to all the people who send me so many kind emails. I will organise some chats with a couple of the people who have requested them. I've got these emails set aside and we'll get back to you very soon. And thank you again to all my supporters and all the kind comments you send me and all the kind emails. And thank you, thank you, thank you to my Patreon supporters, because you are the ones who keep this show on the air. You are the only ones who keep the show on the air. I never have monetized my YouTube account or anything like that, folks. I want people to know that this is being done not for money or not for financial gain. It's been done because it needs to be done. And I really do appreciate the support that people give me, those who believe in the message and help me get the message out and help continue it to flow. So again, you have my most sincere thanks. But again, that is it for me, folks. I've completely run out of time. I'll look forward to speaking to you again next week. Please take very good care until then, and do not despair in the face of what is coming, because we can get through it. We just have to stand up for ourselves, and this crisis is giving us the opportunity we need to do so. I look forward to speaking to you next week. In Lakesh.